Hello, this is Michael Bozy. Thank you for joining me on Marketing Without the Marketing. Really glad that you can be here. Now, if you have been following along on this podcast, you know that I'm in the middle of something I call the social media strategy series, where I go platform by platform through each of the majors just to help you make a decision about you and your business. Are you going to use each of these platforms or not? And as I've said over and over again, it's a good thing to be everywhere, but look, you're going to connect with a community, your community, probably on one or two of these channels. So making the right choice is really, really important. So anyway, hope you've enjoyed that so far. But today, look out, we're going to talk about YouTube. I've got a lot to say about this platform. They're the king of video. And, you know, I'll cover Facebook and Snapchat's recent challenges to the champ. Talk about creating content using playlists, how that might fit into your strategy, including how to monetize the platform. So this one's going to be good. So let's get started. There's so much to say about YouTube. It's one of the web's most mature and most used platforms. I mean, think about this. When you want to learn something, where do you turn? YouTube. When you want to find music or that rare live version of a David Bowie song, where do you go? YouTube. And when someone actually becomes an internet sensation, what platform are they using? That's probably going to be YouTube. I mean, we've seen people build careers off of this platform, and it's truly the place for enterprising entrepreneurs. But here's the thing. Is it right for your business? Let's take a look at that. We'll start with the character of the platform. Obviously, YouTube is everything video, from the shaky handheld videos of your kids in the backyard to professionally produced shows. You've got vlogs or video blogs, which are very popular, but just tons of instructional videos, product reviews. I mean, it's just an amazing resource if you're thinking about this for a small business. And here's the other huge, huge thing, which is that YouTube is the second biggest search engine on the web. It's second only to Google. So think about that. Google, who owns YouTube, has the number one search engine and the number two search engine. I mean, people are going to YouTube to find out how to do things or to be entertained or whatever, but they are searching on there. So just that alone should be a wake-up call for, hey, maybe we should be on YouTube. And YouTube kind of wants to be the place for audio too, since services like SoundCloud, which I like quite a bit, they haven't really stepped up. I mean, from one of their early missions at SoundCloud was to be the YouTube of audio, but you know, they haven't really come through on that promise, in my opinion. I still kind of think of YouTube as the YouTube of audio. And, you know, you see them making a little bit more serious attempt at that with something like YouTube Red, for instance, if you've heard of this. They're kind of trying to get into the music streaming business. So think of this as an offline app that can play, you know, sort of like Spotify or Pandora. It's a paid service, $9.99 a month. You can remove the ads, play uninterrupted music, kind of plays like a music player rather than a video player, and it caches stuff for offline views. And they have some original shows, actually. We'll see how that does. It was only just rolled out a few months ago, but we'll see where they go with that. Now, if you've heard a lot about Facebook and Snapchat in particular, recent news saying that they're doing a lot better than YouTube on views, they're making a real run at both these entities making a real run at YouTube. So let's see how YouTube can withstand this assault. But also, let me throw a little bit of caution into this as far as metrics go, right? Facebook is getting a ton more daily views. That's true. But this metric is a little meaningless because it's not really an equal comparison. So just be careful when you hear the news about this. For instance, YouTube counts a view after 30 seconds and Facebook counts a view after only 3 seconds. So think about that. You're scrolling through your feed on Facebook. If you pause for just a second, it's likely to be counted as a view, even though you and I both know that you didn't really view that. You made a quick determination and moved on, and YouTube wouldn't count it that way. And you can imagine that Facebook, with the just the sheer volume of daily active users on the platform could start to compile some pretty staggering results on video views. But just, you know, it may not be as engaged as what YouTube is talking about. And you know what? Speaking of engagement, I mean, Snapchat has been amazing as far as engagement goes, which is why it's been really, really of huge interest to marketers. Snapchat stories, though, are made up of 10-second clips or 10 seconds maximum. And each one of those counts as a view. Right, so if you think about this, the metrics are a little off on this too. So a 30-second story counts as 3 views. Okay, a little different than how YouTube calculates. So again, just, you know, be cautious about hearing these gaudy numbers from these challenger platforms. YouTube is still the king. But look, it's very clear that both Facebook and Snapchat have clearly got the crosshairs on YouTube. So we'll see what happens. But here's the big thing about YouTube. Strategically for you and your business, it's not just about getting views when you post it. It's also that it functions as a, sort of a storehouse for your video content, right? So if you're treating your video content like cornerstone content, which you should, then YouTube is way better than Facebook or Snapchat for that. And I want to talk about that a little bit with regard to playlists and just how to organize that. We'll get to that in just a second. But listen, there's a great piece on this. I'll include a link for you in the show notes about Facebook versus YouTube, and really should be interesting to watch this. Now, there are tons of people doing great stuff on YouTube and making money as well. I should give a shout out to some of the standouts. You know, I got to start with Gary Vaynerchuk. Started with Wine Library TV, did 1,000 episodes. Ultimately, his success on how to build a business using YouTube led him to create an entire media company, which is pretty amazing. And now he produces something called The Gary V Show, which is excellent. Lots of good information. Urge you to check that out. Marie Forleo is another one with Marie TV. She does a bunch of lifestyle tips, really professionally produced. I mean, does an excellent job with this. Then there's Amy Schmittauer, who runs a channel called Savvy Sexy Social, talks about social media in general, but uses it as sort of a soft touch promotion for her business, which is all about sort of using video to create connections. And she does a great, great job with that. So urge you to check that one out too. And I'll also throw in one that's just a personal favorite. This guy, Nick Jaffe, whose channel called Just Nick. As a musician, I love this a lot. I mean, he gives sort of performing tips, effects pedal reviews, and lots of other stuff that he does that's he does with a nice sense of humor, with some really good content, really informative stuff. Just, you know, hat tip to Nick and all these folks. And I'll leave a link in the show notes so that you can check these out. It's all really great stuff. And I hope that you enjoy it. All right, so how do you get started? Well, remember from the last episode that Google Plus is your internet ID, so it's really important for you to make sure that your YouTube account is linked to your Google Plus account. And incidentally, strange thing happened since I recorded the last podcast last week. In that time, Google actually changed my YouTube handle. So as I mentioned last week, it's my handle was Control Mouse for my company, Control Mouse Media. Last week, I just noticed that they changed it to Michael Bozy, which matches my Google Plus ID. No notification. It just sort of found out about this when I was looking at YouTube to think about what I was going to say in this podcast. So just another indication that it's Google's world and we're just living in it. So there you go. Now let's talk about what people can see on the platform. Google has this sort of open ethos or philosophy around this. So in general, people are going to be able to see a lot on this, right? So if you configure your settings this way, and they do give you a lot of control, people will be able to see your recommended videos, your subscriptions, your uploads, your playlists, and your even your liked videos. So, you know, if you're using this for business and you click like on some funny video, some skit that, who knows, maybe a little inappropriate, you just want to be mindful of that because people are going to see that. Now, of course, you can change your settings and all that. You can keep your liked videos and your saved playlists private. And you can keep your subscription private. So, for instance, you know, I have some playlists that are just music only. They're on my channel and anyone can see them. And I don't really mind that. But, you know, it's just something if you're trying to build a brand and this is really going to be central to your business, you might reconsider that. So just something to think about. All right, let's shift to talking about creating content as a part of your strategy, right? Think about this. It's going to be hard for you to get the most out of YouTube if you're not producing your own content. Curating content is important too, just like on any social network. But look, it's going to be hard to get a lot out of this platform if you're only curating content. And when you are creating content, just like creating a blog post, keep the content very focused. With YouTube videos, as short as you can possibly make them and still deliver something of value that's very useful to the viewer. And of course, like anything, when you're posting, make sure it's your own content. Be careful not to use images or music or, you know, other video posts or clips without permission. Look, not only is it not the right thing to do, but it could also get your account suspended. And, you know, rightfully so if you do such things. And a lot of people make mistakes with that, and it's done unintentionally, but you want to be really careful about that. Imagine if this is going to be a core part of your strategy and it gets shut down. You can't sustain that. So just be really careful. Now, YouTube does offer a bunch of copyright-free music right there in the app, and you can find that under Create and then Audio Library. Let's talk about playlists now. Playlists are a very cool feature of YouTube that you can use to collect up your videos, and they allow you to sort of string together a series or a set that can form its own narrative, which is really, really nice. I'll give you a couple examples from my channel. For instance, I have one that's called Content Strategy for Small Businesses. I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. Or here's another one called My Twitter Basics series, which is just three videos chained together, just my thoughts on Twitter, how to use it, etc. And look, if you do a little bit of planning up front, this can be really cool to do because you can build out this series, create a nice narrative on it, and then via one click, you can just send someone via a link to this little set of videos, this little playlist. It's really, really useful. That way you can kind of keep the chapters short, if you will. These videos can be very, very short, but you can chain them together and put them all in one place. Really, really nice feature. All right, now let's talk about monetizing YouTube. There's a bunch of things that you can do with YouTube ads. I mean, you could create your own ads and run those, but that's probably for larger entities. But you can also do something really simple by allowing ads on your videos. And if you have an audience that's really engaged, and you're getting a bunch of views, this could work pretty well for you. So I don't want to say that this is going to be something that's earth-shattering unless you've got, you know, tons and tons of video views, but why not, right? You can make the determination if this is going to be right for you, right? So for instance, your audience may not appreciate a pre-roll ad. And you may think, oh, I might run the risk of losing that view because someone has to suffer an ad. If you're an unknown, that might be legitimate. You might not want to scare someone off. You might value more that, hey, listen, let me make sure they see the video itself rather than having the ad run. But the kind of cool thing about YouTube is you can pick which videos to monetize and which ones not to. But in order to do any of this, you got to be in the YouTube Partner Program. You need to apply. It's very, very easy, but Google does need to approve you. So what you do is you click Enable under Monetization on the Features page, and then you link it to your AdSense account. And if you don't have an AdSense account, that's the thing that you got to apply for. Very, very simple to do. Just follow the instructions on there and fingers crossed, hopefully Google approves you and then you're ready to go. And, you know, Google has a bunch of different tools for this under something they call the Creator Academy. And I'll leave a link to that in the show notes as well. Find this to be very, very helpful in just how to set it up, strategies, how it works, all that. Now, whether you're using ads or not, YouTube is just really great about statistics and analytics. In sharp contrast to Google+, which is not very good at that. You know, think about this. Any public video, provided you've set your settings this way, generally you're able to see views, likes, and dislikes, the little thumbs down icon. Those things are public on pretty much any video. Almost no one shuts that off in settings. But the advanced features are amazing. So that that would include watch time, the average view duration, geography, gender, traffic source. And these are all on a dashboard that only you can see, which is at youtube.com/analytics. Very, very cool stuff. So once you get using the platform, this type of measurement is really, really useful to you and your strategy because you can see which ones are connecting and which ones are not. Try to make determinations as to why or why not. You know, what are the things that are affecting your views? Is it the way that you promoted it? Is it the content itself? Is it the meta content around it? You can do all sorts of tests with this. And because they give you so much data on this, it can actually make those tests really meaningful. So I'd urge you to include that as a part of your strategy if you're going to use YouTube. All right, so let's sort of wrap this up with an overall strategy. If you could produce video, this is an incredible platform for you. And if so, it could be your primary platform. But the big thing is, and really the big question, can you produce video? If that's a no, then that allows you to rule YouTube out right away. Not that you can't be doing stuff with just curation, but like I said, this is going to be hard to do if you're not producing your own material. So that would be the primary question that you want to ask before you get started, obviously. Now, you can't do a lot of automation with this, with YouTube, so it's going to be, you think there's going to be a bunch of manual effort. So just factor that in. This is going to take some time and it's going to be in real time. And in point of fact, even if you post videos to hold them and you sort of make them private and then go post them later, YouTube and Google seems to favor it if you upload and post right away rather than sort of uploading it and then posting it publicly later. The reason I mention it here as part of overall strategy is that means that you're going to kind of have to be on point right there at the time, you know, block off whatever time that's going to be. Let's say that's going to be Wednesday at 11 a.m. You're going to have to do it then, right? So you're actually going to have to sort of schedule the time. And, you know, that may make a difference to whether or not this is worthwhile for you or not. Now, YouTube tends to be more broadcast rather than bi-directional, but listen, you know, if you produce content regularly, and you can see, for instance, with some of the folks that I called out for some kudos, that, you know, you'll get comments on your YouTube channel, and that's integrated with Google+, which will help with search, so that's really, really good, but you're probably going to start just by thinking in more of a broadcast term, but with any of these social platforms, the ultimate aim is to get nice and bi-directional, but it's going to take a little bit of time to get that cranking. So that's about it for YouTube. Hope that you find that to be helpful and hope that it helps you make a decision up or down. Am I going to use YouTube or not? Can be really great just for the sheer power of the platform, but like anything, it's got to be right for you. So now let's hear from you. Have you been using YouTube already? Have you been planning to? Why or why not? Or maybe you've been getting a lot of success with it or have changed the strategy. I would love to hear from you. If you would, leave a comment on the show page or directly in iTunes if you like. And while you're there, if you would leave me a review or even easier, a star rating. Super easy to do. Just throw some stars my way. I would really appreciate that. And I'll leave a link in the show notes, so that's super, super easy for you. And I really appreciate it. As I've said before, it helps other people find the show. So it means a lot to me. And even though I hate to ask, feel like I have to. So, all right. Anyway, that'll about do it. Hope that you found this to be helpful, and we'll see you next week.